Let's do
Blog
it.
Talk Radio.
Oh yeah. Oh, 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 oh.
Oh, oh no.
Oh yeah. It's just 5 an hour. 365 days of motivation and personal empowerment just for you. It's your man Marvin Rone and a crew of CLI. We're going to talk about the state of African American mental health today and much, much more. Hang on with me. Let's go, y'all. Come on. It's the part just for us. And there's no better love.
That's what I got.
Welcome, welcome, welcome one, welcome all. There's no better love than for self and kind. No better love. Welcome to Empowerment Hours, 365 days of motivation and personal empowerment just for you, African Americans. It's that work that we need to do. It's the clarifying of positions and positioning of ourselves to be successful as a group, even as individuals. But as a group, we have to coalesce. We got to work together, y'all. What does it do? Well, who's going to do that? Who's going to be able to fish and fin through all of the malarkey, all the history, all the trauma, all the pain, all the hurt, sorrow, suffering, la, 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 blah, blah, blah. Y'all know. Who's going to weed through all of that to say we need an agenda, a national agenda, a national black agenda, an agenda that speaks to what we need to do to maintain ourselves, to survive. I'm talking about thriving and surviving. Y'all know what I call it, thrival and survival. We got to do it. And so here are the five areas. It's the peace concept, E. Let me spell it up. Tenets of the NAAEA. You have to have a political agenda, right? We have to understand American politics. And again, here's the thing. You have to understand the system in which you live in. That's all I'm saying. Understand the system. Understand the system. Here we go. So let's go back to around 1865 or so, maybe. Well, they said, okay, y'all free, go ahead. And we're like, okay, we free, and we went ahead. Don't tell you nothing about how things work. Don't tell you how to manage money. Don't tell you how to save. Don't teach you. You know it was against the rules to read and write at one time, okay? So now that you're deficient in those areas, you have to have a comprehensive process and program of training and development to get us back on track, to get us up to speed. Again, we talked about it before. Many of us don't like reading. Wonder why? When it was against the law to read, and it was a crime that you could die for reading and for wanting to learn. How about that? Just wanting to improve yourself mentally was our problem. That meant that you could face severe consequences. That's still in us. Okay? It just is. But how do we fight through that? How do we force ourselves to get better, to put measures in place to help us develop mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, socially, and culturally? Who, again, is going to do that? The thing is you have to do it, and you have to be the catalyst for that change to happen. Each individual, each of us do. We have to have a political agenda. We got to work these politics wherever you are, and then have a national agenda that speaks to the politics that's going to protect us. We need an economic agenda, economic platforms where we understand money, how to manage money, and then get those resources in that we need to build our communities, sustainable communities where we can live and work in peace and in harmony. Again, you got to have money in the land of milk and honey. You do. And again, if you're ready to get up out of here, no problem. Go somewhere, but you're still going to have to sustain yourself with some economy. You just do. Right, you just can't go nowhere else in the world and just think you're just going to live. It doesn't work like that. You got to add something to the economy, something to the community. You have to give something because at the state in which some of us are functioning, we won't be no good to other people. We won't. I'm sorry. That's just me, though. A, athletics, health, wellness, fitness, and nutrition. You got to take care of your body. Are you eating right? What you putting in your body? Are you working out? Are you exercising? Are you taking care of your temple? Are you doing the things that's going to manifest good health right? Good mental health, because you got to have a good mental health plan as well. You got to de-stress. You got to have a de-stress program. You got to have a training program. You got to develop yourself so you could be humming on all cylinders, because we can't be walking around here sick. You know, we lead the league in health disparities, right? And so we can change that. But the work is going to have to come from us to do the work of working on ourselves. We just do. So if you haven't done the work, guess what? It's a good time to get started right now. It's a good time to get started working on yourself, your mental health plan right now, along with your physical and emotional health plan. You just do. And that should be instilled and distilled down into your children, right, that we start advocating for mental and physical health. And we're going to talk a little bit about that today, the African-American state of mind of mental health. Of course, we need that, right? But diet, rest, exercise. How many of your friends and families are on medication, family members, right? Just ask the question and look around. You'll see for yourself, right? If not yourself, somebody that you know is, and many of us are. We've got to do something about that. See, it's culture. You need relevant cultural programs. You just do. You got to have some stuff that's going to teach your kids about themselves that they can walk and talk proud. Again, chin up, chest out, ready to go. And if we get those young people confident in themselves, man, what a world. What a difference it'll make. We are know if we invest in, if we make a good investment, we'll get a good return on our investment. We really will. But that's up to us again. And we got to do that. We got to do the work of working on ourselves. And lastly, it's education. It's a comprehensive education. That comprehensive education speaks to really giving us the information and tools that we need to be successful here, wherever we are. You got to know some stuff, right? And you got to be able to teach and train and develop your young people. Ain't that right, Stan?
Man,
Stan McLean.
My neck is packed today. I can hear you.
Come on,
can
Stan.
Hear me?
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you.
Yeah,
I just,
man,
I
we got
love
this deck.
I just love it when you're able to explain the pillars of the National African American Empowerment Association. You know, when we have institutions that define our own reality, quit trying to get in to fit in. This is where it's at, and this is what we're doing.
Stan is so right. We're going to have to stop trying to get in to fit in. We need a program. We need a process. We need a surefire system. We need methods, methods of security in our communities, methods of safety, methods of mental health, strategies that's going to help us do that. And we need that collective consciousness that Brother George talks about. We have to bring that in, right? We got to bring that piece in ourselves. And Stan is so right. And these tenets of the NAAEA can do that. Go on out there and join today. We need your membership. We need your support. The more that we can work together, the better off things will be for all of us. I'm going over to Brother George. Brother George for the Willie Lynch and Kwanzaa moment. Brother George, here we go. Oh, yeah. Coming right up.
Bring it! What?
What? Brother George.
Yes, sir.
Welcome to the show.
Thank
How you
for
doing
the
today, brother?
I'm doing fine.
As
bro.
Always. As always,
yes,
brother.
Sir. Yes, sir. Well, thank you. Thank you. I want to... Thank you for the introduction, and I want to appreciate, you know, the introduction that you gave, you know, to lead into the show today, because that was really beautiful the way you laid that out. You know, hopefully I can carry on with that.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, today, Kwanzaa principle is Kujichagulia, which is self-determination to define ourselves, name ourselves, create for ourselves, and speak for ourselves. That's my favorite principle. It always has been. It just was something that grabbed me when it said to define ourselves, name ourselves, create for ourselves, and speak for ourselves, something that we haven't done for a long time. And gradually, we're different ones of us are taking on the initiative to begin to define ourselves, speak for ourselves, name ourselves. I really appreciate that principle, and it's vastly needed. Along with the other six, it's vastly needed. Now, today, for the Really Lit segment, I'm going to read from a book called The World in Africa by W.E.B. Du Bois, or some say Du Bois. And I think it was very interesting when I found this this particular segment. What was revealed by the navigators of the 15th to the 17th centuries furnishes an absolute proof that Negro Africa, which extended south of the desert zone of the Sahara, was in full effluence in all the splendor of harmonious and well-formed civilization, an affluence which the European conquistadors annihilated as far as they progressed. For the new country of America needed slaves, and Africa had them to offer, hundreds, thousands, whole cargoes of slaves. However, the slave trade was never an affair which met perfectly easy conscience, and it exacted a justification. Hence, one made of the Negro a half animal, an article of merchandise. And in the same way, the notion of fetish was invented as a symbol of African religion. As for me, I have seen in no part of Africa the Negroes worship a fetish. The idea of the barbarous Negro is a European invention which has consequently prevailed in Europe until beginning of this century. Now, a fetish, for the sake of giving a definition, is like when you worship an object or something and you give it power over you. And he's saying, since he lived here for many years, he never experienced nothing like that. Okay, who now were these Negroes on whom the world preyed for 500 years in defense of slavery and the slave and the slave trade and for the upbuilding of capitalistic industry and imperialistic colonialism? Africa and the Negro have been read almost out of the bounds of humanity. They lost in the modern thought their history and cultures, all to all that was human in Africa was deemed European or Asiatic. Africa was no integral part of the world because the world which raped it had to pretend that it had not harmed a man but a thing. Now, I read that before in another way, I think, in something that Dr. Clark wrote. But it's interesting, you know, to have an explanation like that, that basically, you know, they came in and they destroyed our civilizations. And so by destroying our civilizations, at the end of the destruction, if it's not, you know, something that's workable, then they say that they had dysfunctional societies, you know, so everything was just fell in line. But the interesting thing was because of the presence of the Moors in Europe for so long, it wasn't as easy to convince all of Europe the idea that we were some subhuman group, because they knew that the Moors had were the scientific people of the world. They knew that. And so they had to figure out ways to erase our memory from us so that we would begin to act like uncivilized human beings. And so that was why they didn't want us to read on slavery. It's a lot of things, questions that are answered when you do more research into them understanding who we were, and then they played like they didn't know where we came from, which part of Africa we came from. They just, you know, we were just savages coming out the jungle from somewhere, you know. So essentially, I just thought that that was a very interesting piece, brother. You know, so.
Absolutely is. Brother. Absolutely is, brother. Before you go, what's the one way that we can get our minds back? How do we return to our right minds? What do you think?
Well, we need to take a strong initiative to begin to teach our children to think of themselves highly, humble, but highly, you know. And what I mean
by that is
we have to, like, take the initiative to teach our children about who we are as a people and who they are and what their mission is in life. You're the scientific people of the world. It's your mission to help civilization advance. Forget about what happened in the past. You know, I mean, forgive what happened in the past and don't forget so it doesn't happen again. However, your mission is to be the scientific people of the world because you have that mind. You have that creative mind. It's yours. And it hasn't went anywhere. We just have to click it back on and start it back up again so that we can do that. And we can do those type of things by taking the initiatives really to be teaching our own children. Quit turning our children over to other people to teach them things, because it's really not good, even if someone of another race teaches our children some true part of our history. It is much better coming from you because they respect that mouth that told them who they were. And so a lot of times other racial groups will come along and ask people to think more highly of them because they gave them something that we should have been given ourselves. So, brother, I mean, you know, hope I haven't got too intense and all that.
That's pretty good. I like it. Thank you, Brother George. You're exactly right.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it, sir. Well, there you have it. Another Willie Lynch and Kwanzaa segment. You can't beat it. You can't. The brother's right. He says one thing. You better know your purpose. You better know your mission. As an African-American and a person of color, you come from a grand tradition of great, great, great scientists, creators, manufacturers, producers, developers. It goes on and on, but you have to know who you are. You were born with purpose. You were born gifted. You're talented. You're great. You just got to realize it. You got to recognize it. And that Kwanzaa principle, defining yourself. We have to do that for ourselves. We've got to name ourselves and speak for ourselves. And we have to create. We got to go back to being co-creators and co-producers, becoming the best that we could be. We have to do that. It's your obligation. If you're on this earth right now, you're on the planet, it's your obligation to pour back into your young people. It's your commitment to develop yourself, put time in yourself with self-development, self-management, and self-discipline. You got to do it. It's your responsibility. And another thing, last thing is this, it's accountability. We got to learn to be accountable for ourselves. We do. And one way that we can learn to be accountable is understanding how to manage ourselves. So there's some principles. We talked about it last week. I'm going to spin it out for just a minute, and then we'll go to the lines. I'll be back in just a minute.
The 42 Laws of Ma'at. I have not committed sin. I have not committed robbery with violence. I have not stolen. I have not slain men or women. I have not stolen food. I have not swindled offerings. I have not stolen from God. I have not told lies. I have not carried away food. I have not cursed. I have not closed my ears to truth. I have not committed adultery. I have not made anyone cry. I have not felt sorrow without reason. I have not assaulted anyone. I am not deceitful. I have not stolen anyone's land. I have not been an eavesdropper. I have not falsely accused anyone. I have not been angry without reason. I have not seduced anyone's wife. I have not polluted myself. I have not terrorized anyone. I have not disobeyed the law. I have not been excessively angry. I have not cursed God. I have not behaved with violence. I have not caused disruption of peace. I have not acted hastily or without thought. I have not overstepped my boundaries of concern. I have not exaggerated my words when speaking. I have not worked evil. I have not used evil thoughts, words, or deeds. I have not polluted the water. I have not spoken angrily or arrogantly. I have not cursed anyone in thought, words, or deeds. I have not placed myself on a pedestal. I have not stolen what belongs to God. I have not stolen from or disrespected the deceased. I have not taken food from a child. I have not acted with insolence. I have not destroyed property belonging to God. The 42 laws of my heart.
There you have it. Man, how many toes would those laws step on today? And how many of those things that many of us found ourselves guilty of that we could correct? It's correction for direction. If we could just use, if we could just apply, simply apply, at least try to work at applying those simple laws to our lives again, right? It's there. If you would do, at least try, think about it. One or two of those things would be a great start in our communities because it would, I'm going to play that every week. I can tell you that right now. From now on, that's going to go along with the Kwanzaa and Willie Lynch segments. We have to be able, and the one, to be able to look at how we can begin to channel a new energy, to go back to the foundation of what got us here, and that is laws and principles to live by. I'm going to go to the line. I like that. I really do. I have not done wrong. How about that? I ain't eavesdropped. I have not minded somebody else's business. How about that? Mm-hmm. All right. I'm starting on 9-2. 8-2, here we go. Crank up time, let's go. I'm going to the line. Give it to me. The right way. Come on.
Bring it. What?
Right here. We're not going.
9-2-8-2. I like that song. What you got today, brother?
As-salamu alaykum, my brother.
May peace be unto you, my brother. How you feeling?
I'm doing fine. What about yourself?
I'm doing wonderfully well. We're talking about so much. It's so much. So much. What you got?
I'm going to go to your topic. State of African-American
mental health.
Okay. And going to the topic, I got to go to the first characteristic of the one and be honest with myself when I'm looking at
the state
of our mental health. And I got to go to Willie Lynch. You know, and when we talk about Willie Lynch like we do every week, and we're the people, we talk about Willie Lynch. We don't talk about why he did what he did, Willie Lynch. Talking about. We talk about what he did, okay, and how he supposedly did it, but we don't talk about why he did what he did and why he got the plantation, the slave owners, to do what he recommended they would do. And the answer is really simple. It worked. What he did, we said we agree it worked, and we talk about what he did. Why he did it was to create good niggas. Create good niggas. He said, I'm driving up to James, man, and y'all got niggas hanging by the tree. Y'all killing your money. You killing your resources. You killing the product. You whipping your niggas in the field to death every day to get them to work, damn near. because they still know who they are. They still the people of God. They still rebelling. You're going about it the wrong way. You ain't going to never beat those. You can't keep beating those niggas like that. You got to do what I'm talking about, Willie Lynch. We got to make good niggas. We got to destroy the mind. And then he set forth ways to do that. And we such great good niggas now that we don't even know we niggas. That's the good thing about it. When you can make a nigga, and a nigga don't know he's a nigga, or make a slave, and the slave doesn't even know he's a slave, you've done one hell of a job. That's when you can hold your nigga to the world for the world to see. You know, look at my nigga. My nigga will come fight all of y'all for me. My nigga will create products, give me ideas to make my world better for me. My nigga, he's boasting to the world. Look at my niggas. I got good niggas. I go to sleep every night and rest fine because my niggas not going, my nigga going to do what I tell my niggas to do. I got good niggas. That's Willie Lynch. That's the state of the African-American mind. Good niggas. We're out of our minds. We're crazy. Look, when we go back, when I look back at the beginning days of the plantation, when we were shackled and chained and they whipping us every day, working us 6 days a week before sun up to after sundown, whipping you to make you work. Because if they take the shackles off, they know we're rebelling, we're coming after them. So they're trying to beat us into submission and so forth, just whipping us like that. And then at night coming into the shack, get patting a nigga on the head, give him a little bottle of liquor, and go have sex with his wife and his daughter, if not both. 6 days a week, and then you get a nigga Sunday off. Okay? The nigga got Sunday off so long as he entertains master, so long as he comes and sing and dance and tell jokes and all that and so forth. He, you know, making good niggas. And we also on Sunday had to go to church. And let's, you know, being honest with ourselves now. Again, you got to be, to be the one, you got to be honest with yourself. So we look back and say, when we're going to church, the first preacher to the slave on the plantation was the master, was the white man. He preached the sermons. He taught us about, quote unquote, God. He taught us about heaven and hell, about Jesus and all those things. He taught it. And then when he got to the point where he had a nigger that he had trained well in the teachings of, quote-unquote, God or religion, then he let the nigger lead the sermon. And he would sit back and watch the nigger up there preaching, and he said, the nigger do that thing better than I do. The nigger done put soul to the teachings, done put rhythm to it, got that hum to it. He said, God, the nigger damn near got me believing in Jesus. You know, that's the mindset when we talk about African-American mentality. That's where we are. Fella, we got to be honest with ourselves. We got to quit beating around the bush, as they say, keeping it real. We still slaves today. And the number one sign that you look at to tell you a slave is our love for money. See, you mentioned earlier, when he let us go off the plantation in 1865, okay, now, niggas, y'all ain't got to do it. We're going to free y'all, so-called free y'all. But now you still got to stay here and work for me. You're staying here, right? So I got to give you what is called a job, your J-O-B. And we're going to talk to you about what kind of job. You're basically going to be doing the same shit you were doing on the plantation. But now I'm going to give you something called money. It's a medium of exchange. But then the same thing, now you're going to have, where you going to stay? Where you going to live? Well, you're going to still live in the cabin, but you got a sharecropper. I'm going to take some of your money because you got to pay me for living here. Then I'm going to take some more of your money because you got to pay me to eat the food. Then I'm going to take some more of your money because you got to take me, you got to pay me for drinking you know, my water. And so forth, and for my transportation, and for everything. And then this whole empire builds up, and we call it an economy based on money, economic power, economic so forth. But it's still my slave niggas running it, and I got them depending on my money. For the love of money, the Bible said, is the root of all evil. And we love it now, because we don't know no better, because we said we got to have it. What else you going to do, nigga, if you ain't got no money? Man, goddamn, we got to get some money. What else we gonna go? If we don't have no money, what else we gonna do? The power of money, that's the slave mentality. That's the what's over holding, and his picture on the dollar. His picture on all his money. But you gotta work for him. And we devalue ourselves, like the brother was saying earlier. We don't know what we're worth. Okay, well, I'm worth minimum wage, $7.50 an hour, my time, an hour of my life, $7.50 to work my ass off, just like back in the field on the plantation, whooping you the same thing. 6 days a week, 7 days a week, and go to church on Sunday and entertain me, nigga, ain't nothing changed. We slaves. But we so good as slaves, we don't even know it. That's what we need to do to make the change our destiny, brother. We've got to be honest with the situation we are in and recognize that for the last 400-500 years we've been slaves and we still are slaves.
Oh,
yeah, you
right.
can travel the world, nigga. You got to have a passport. You got to have my money.
All
you
right.
can't bring but so much of it with you out of my country. Slaves, brother, still are
all right.
my setting. We don't
got
even
to
know.
Hold
yes,
you. Got to hold you right there. Thank you, brother. Man,
yes, sir,
you
brother,
passionate.
Please.
I like that about you, Steve. Thank you. Well, that's what I would say. Well, to that, I mean, I think you can have your own opinions about that. But if you really go down to the root, get titter-tooter and a rooter, that's kind of what's going on. So what do? Right? We are in a pickle. We're in a situation. We're in a quandary. How do we get out? It's going to take some work because we've been damaged, but we can repair ourselves. Just like if you nick yourself, guess what? Give your body a few days and it'll start healing. So how do we start healing? So we have to examine a few things about what's going on in our communities. And let's look at our mental health and examine some things that's going on. Going to a clip. I'll be right back. I'm going to 8128 when I finish.
Well, the coronavirus pandemic has not only taken a toll on our physical and financial well-beings, but it's had a huge impact on our mental health. And in minority communities where COVID-19 has hit the hardest, there is a long-standing taboo around mental illness concerns. So in light of this, actor Taraji P. Henson recently launched free online therapy services targeted to African Americans. And here is what she had to say on the issue to ABC's Lindsay Davis.
So because I'm blessed, my father always told me to be a blessing. And so I started this foundation because of the stigma around mental health in the African American community. And I think now is the time, because all we have right now is time on our hands, is to try it if you have reservations. Because you're in the comforts of your own home. You don't have to worry about feeling embarrassed or being looked down upon because you're stepping into an office where there are therapists there. So I think it's a good time for people to try it. It has been overwhelming, the response. We have hundreds of new therapists that have signed up. Once this is over and said and done, all of us will be traumatized.
But in African American culture, there seems to be this tradition of kind of keeping your palms to yourself, fighting through it, being tough, you know, not putting
being
your
strong.
Business out on Front Street.
Yeah.
So what do you think it is about the black experience in America that makes this idea of therapy such a unique challenge?
I think it's about finding the right therapist, someone who understands your background, where you come from. One thing I would like to see more men apply. Out of all the applicants right now, we have 71% are women and only 6% men. And I'm just pushing for more men to just please allow yourself to be vulnerable.
All right, thanks to Lindsay and Taraji. And here to give us more insight on the mental health stigma in African American communities is Associate Professor of Psychiatry at Duke University and author of Black Man in a White Coat, Dr. Damon Tweedy. Dr. Damon, thanks for being with us. You just heard what Taraji P. Henson said about the black experience, but she did reference specifically black men. Why do you think that that's been such a tough area for that group to seek therapy?
Well, I think it's a couple things. If you think about sort of the history of African Americans in the United States, the narrative is often around overcoming adversity and oppression through faith and family and community. And if you contrast that with the mental health narrative, historically what we think about is something that's largely white and it's more kind of sterile, focusing on individuals, not groups, and also catering to a more sort of wealthy sort of clientele. So you can see that there is this kind of a clash right there. When you think about the idea of a black person sort of going to a stranger and sharing their, often who's white, and sharing their experiences, you can sort of see how that would pose a challenge for sure. And then we talk about the aspect of being a male, you have to sort of superimpose the idea that there's a broader sort of idea about masculinity and being tough and manning up and not being weak. And so that's often accentuated among African Americans. And so you see that there's this sort of combination of both the racial side and then there's just the sort of being the male side. And so black men sort of get that kind of perfect storm, if you will, that kind of can scare them from seeking mental health treatment.
Yeah, and it's especially unfortunate.
There you go. Right? We know the history now, but the truth is we need help. And just being tough and resilient probably won't do it. For some of us, if you're rare, yeah, if we need help. Here's the deal, though. Some of us don't want to talk to strangers. Some of us are like, I mean, I ain't talking to nobody, I don't know. I got that. But find somebody that can really give us the help that we need so we can correct some of the problems that we have. We got to do it, especially brothers. Now, and sisters, all of us have been traumatized. If you're black in America, the majority of us have been traumatized. It's true. We need mental health support. We just do. Right? We're being honest about that. But who is willing to say, you know what, I got to go in and get it. I do. I got some problems I need to work on. I need to get going today because I got some stuff that I need to work through. Because we got to stop being self-destructive. You can start with the principles of Mayotte. You can start with the principles of Kwanzaa. You can start with understanding what Willie Lynch has done and then start to make some corrective actions with the tenets of the NAAEA, for example. But there are some things that we can now do to help ourselves, and that's what it's all about. It's about correction for direction now. 8128, you're up next. Let's go. Go. 8128, welcome to the show. How are you?
How you doing, my brother? I'm doing pretty good. I, all things considered, listening to the show from the Kwanzaa segment on brother. But it just brings back to my mind something that leads up to current situation. Like you said, brother, when they said that we were free in 1865, you know, and told us, you know, to just go out there, they did not have a plan, even though they had the unions concept and the abolitionist concept of giving us education and this so-called 48% of mule situation was supposed to come into play, which never did. The whole thing is this, brother. We have strived to become accepted by white society in this country from before that, okay? Even the so-called black people who were here who were free, right? They kind of kept to themselves because of the separation, but it has always been an effort to compete with and if any to any degree be like white people, to be like white society, to mimic them as much as possible, to be accepted by them as much as possible, to live up to saying to us, oh, yeah, well, yeah, well, we'll take him in because he's acting like us enough for us to be able to accept him. But you see, the thing is that we have never focused entirely on just us. And that is the biggest issue here. That is why it is so difficult for us to bring everybody into the fold under the same banner, because some of us are still trying to get white people to say, yeah, I like you. That's never going to happen. It's never going to happen. The only thing that you're going to get is them saying, good work, boy or girl, because you are helping us to maintain our system. Because if you're trying to help maintain a different system, a system of black people rising up, becoming independent, becoming economically and politically a force to be reckoned with, then you are not going to get no likes from no white person. I don't care how much you think they like you. Okay? Now, let me even get it up to a more modern situation to show you. Okay? Now, we can talk about public housing here in Richmond. Now, in Richmond, public housing back in 1958, okay, according to the records say, okay, they built them and had them initially for white people. Now, if you look into the tenets of public housing was to help you to become a homeowner after you left there. Okay, now what they did was they got the white people who were in them and became homeowners, and then they destroyed the homes of black people and black communities and put them into these housing projects. It is in the history books. I was able to find it very easily. They destroyed the black communities, put people in our people in public housing, and sold them promises and dreams of them having their own homes again, and it never happened. It never happened. Then they desegregated the schools and turned them into schools, into just holding places for black kids. Got rid of the black teachers and the black principals and started giving us, our kids, fourth grade educations and no more than that. And those who were fortunate enough to go beyond that, they made it undesirable for them to come back and to fight for us. So we are here, we are stuck. And you're talking about mental illness, brother? Did that not bring about mental illness? We, like you said, brother, and on top of that, how many therapists can you go to who will talk to you from an Afrocentric point of view?
True.
Rather than talk to you about what this society has deemed as mental health viewpoints in terms of how you see things. You would be mentally, anybody is mentally ill. I know I have mental illness problems because I don't know enough about me. I don't know enough about my history. I don't know enough about my legacy. I don't know about the real reasons why things are the way that they are towards us in this racism and this white supremacist society. The thing is that we don't have enough open discussions. We don't have enough people that we can talk to and rant and rave about the things that we need to rant and rave about to get out of our systems and to expose. We're not doing it. We're not doing it because we don't have a platform to do it, brother. And we need that.
True.
We cannot be confident about opening our mouths and saying what we really feel if we can't be confident that this person ain't trying to make us conform to something that is not meant for us to conform to.
Right.
We can't.
All right, brother.
You know what I'm saying? We can't have something. All right.
All right. All right.
That's my viewpoint, brother.
I appreciate that. Great points. Great points. Your brother is exactly right. He's exactly right. Here's the thing. We need therapists, but you got to be able to read and write. You got to be able to critically think. You got to be able to analyze, right? And that's just one profession, right? Whether it's social worker or clinical counseling, you have to have those skills, but you can't do that with a fourth grade education. Can't do that not being able to read and articulate. You can't do that without being able to write. You just can't. So we have to put ourselves in position to develop these professions. And I'm not saying you have to be a professional. You can be a plumber if you like or whatever. Whatever suits you. But you got to have skills. You just do. Right? And so you can't get in a holding pattern where poverty and dysfunction and trauma on the menu every day. We have to do something about that. All right, I'm going over to 9266. If you're talking, I'm listening. Here we go, Bernie, and you win strong all day long. It's in private Saturday.
Bring it! What?
What? I like that. 9266, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Can you hear
Welcome
me?
To the show. Yes.
Okay, good. Thank you. So I had to take what Mr. Chambers said and then combine it. You know, being that we are slaves to what is going on right now, whether it just be money or social media or whatever the case is, a lot of our people think that what we're doing is okay. And so, even like when we talk about what happened at Meadowbrook High School this week with the fighting and stuff like that, and the way the parents reacted to it, you know, that white officer touched my child, but even though they were in there fighting, the kids think it's okay to fight like that. And in the past, they praise the child for going in there and kicking people's butts and then chastise the police for trying to break up the fight and all this other stuff. And what I'm trying to go to is part of our mental illness comes from we're thinking that our behaviors or the way we feel is okay. So the fact that we're walking around angry and don't know how to deal with anger management and deal with situations, we're okay. I don't need counseling. I'm not crazy. So that's part of the issues that we're having right now. That whole slave mentality is gone from control, but they've also taught us how to beat each other up. Or, you know, we've talked about this before. You know, we've been taught just to lash out, to beat each other up, and it's okay because you have a right to have feelings. Yeah, you have a right to have feelings, but that don't mean you have a right to put your hand on other people. So, you know, we need to get to a point where we admit that we have issues, we have anger management issues, for us to get counseling. And a lot of us are going to get counseling because we don't think we have an issue, or like we've always been taught, it's the internalized pain too. And that's how it turns out to be the anger, the fight, and the all that other stuff. And I think schools have done a tad bit better. You know, when they do with the IEPs and the, they recognize behavioral issues and stuff like that and try to get the kids counseling and stuff like that. We definitely didn't have that when we were in school, but we have a lot of adults that are parents to these children who, like I said, are teaching these kids, you know, these anger behaviors or, you know, or the way they're behaving or acting out is okay. And they take up for them instead of saying, okay, let's get help. Let's talk about this. Let's deal with this.
That's true. That's true. Thank you, sister. I appreciate it. Great point. Right. She's right. Why? Okay, wait, let's back up. School is for a place to learn, to educate yourself, right? We need social skills. Yeah, we do. But we're not there to fight each other. Now, there's an arena for that, right? If you want to take out your frustration. But there are ways in which you can channel your energy. It's called conflict resolution. But I dare say if you haven't seen your parents do it, how can you do it? Right? Because the kids, again, are only going to mimic what they see or hear at home and in their community. You are a product of your environment, whether you like it or not. So whatever our kids do, we have to blame the adults. Sorry. We do. Right? The number one rule for educating our children are you go to school to learn. Right? Oh, you're going to have differences with people, but you have to resolve those differences. But all them days of going to school to fight is over with. They're going to send you home, and you're not going to get an education that way. You're not. You can't get an education expelled because that's a part of the school-to-prison pipeline. Hello? Somebody wake our people up. Somebody please do it. I'm going over to 1683. Man, who are we going to get it? Fighting all the time. But then again, self-management. Come on. What you got, brother?
As I said earlier, let me repeat this: we such good niggas, we don't even know we niggas. Everything he's talking about, the behavior, and everything we've been doing—that's how niggas behave. We are such good niggas, we don't even know that we niggas. Okay, school should be a place where me as a parent select to send my child to because I know they're going to work with me to develop my child's greatness that's already in him. Okay, school is not should not be a substitute for me, the parent, or a replacement for me, the parent. It should be supplementing me, the parent, in developing my child. And if a school is not in tune with what I want my child to grow up to be and know about life, then I should not send my child to that school.
True.
Okay? But because we as parents, as we said, when that baby come out the womb, who's catching it? You know, we're behind the eight ball that we just send our children off to daycare and to schools and don't have no damn idea what's going on up in the school building. That's mental health problem. That's poor parenting. That's poor being a father, poor being a mother to our children. You know, the Maya, you said the 42 principles. Those 42 principles, if you read them again or state them again, that's the God in you. If you can answer those 42 principles the correct way, that's the God in you. When you're making decisions on life based on those 42 principles, that's the God in you doing the right thing. We became adulterers because we were taught to be adulterers on the plantation, acting like niggas. We said good niggas, we don't even know we niggas. We became whoremongers on the plantation, taking after our master. You can't be walking around here doing the 42 principles of America and your master can't do one of them.
Cool.
You got to function like your master. You know, all those things he taught us. What are you teaching us when we come in our house at night and pat us on the head and go have sex with our daughter and our wives and we can't do nothing about it? He's teaching you how to tell you go out there and sleep with the other woman across the hall to make more niggas for him, the master. That's the only thing you could do as a black man. We need to, brothers, we need to find God in us. We need to look for God. We need to stop looking for God in Jesus. We need to stop looking for God in Allah. We need to stop looking for God in Jehovah. We need to stop looking for God in Buddha. We need to look for God in us. We need to find those 42. We need to find the God in us, brother. And if we find the God in each one of us, we will find each other. And imagine, just imagine, if you will, the power that will be. If all of us as black folk find the God in each one of us, just fathom that, think of that for a minute. If we all find God in us and find each other, visualize that power, brother. Like Stan said, that's far greater than a job of it. Visualize that, brother. That's universal control. That's universal love. That's God. We are one. Find the God in you. And we know how to do that. We talk about it. You say you're going to play him every week. Yes, sir. Look in yourself and understand that when you're dealing with anything, how you deal with it should be based on the God in you, the principles in you.
I like that.
You know? Then you know not to go sleep with another man's wife, okay? Or whatever, you know? It's in us, brother. It's in us.
All right, brother.
Find it, God.
I appreciate that.
Yes, sir.
I like it.
Yes, sir, brother.
I like that.
Peace.
I like it. Hey, great points. Exactly right. Now, again, I ain't trying to tell nobody what to do with their religious life, but I am saying you should consider having some spiritual principles that you live by. I'm going to try it again. Thank you, brother. I appreciate that.
The 42 laws of Maat. I have not committed sin. I have not committed robbery with violence. I have not stolen. I have not slain men or women. I have not stolen food. I have not swindled offerings. I have not stolen from God. I have not told lies. I have not carried away food. I have not cursed. I have not closed my ears to truth. I have not committed adultery. I have not made anyone cry. I have not felt sorrow without reason. I have not assaulted anyone. I am not deceitful. I have not stolen anyone's land. I have not been an eavesdropper. I have not falsely accused anyone. I have not been angry without reason. I have not seduced anyone's wife. I have not polluted myself. I have not terrorized anyone. I have not disobeyed the law. I have not been excessively angry. I have not cursed God. I have not behaved with violence. I have not caused disruption of peace. I have not acted hastily or without thought. I have not overstepped my boundaries of concern. I have not exaggerated my words when speaking. I have not worked evil. I have not used evil thoughts, words, or deeds. I have not polluted the water. I have not spoken angrily or arrogantly. I have not cursed anyone in thought, words, or deeds. I have not placed myself on a pedestal. I have not stolen what belongs to God. I have not stolen from or disrespected the deceased. I have not taken food from a child. I have not acted with insolence. I have not destroyed property belonging to God. The 42 laws of Maat.
Man, that's some sound training right there. If we could get that down inside of us, man, our communities would change overnight. Imagine what our schools would look like if we had those principles flowing through the minds of our children and our parents were in positions to educate our children with those principles. I mean, you could do your own. Ain't nothing wrong with having foundational principles in your life. All I'm saying is these are tools, and the tools continue to mount up. We have to put ourselves in a position to develop ourselves, to become the best that we can be. And it's up to us to do that work now. There are so many opportunities for us to change and grow, but we're going to have to do that. How do we do that? We're going to have to look at ourselves, a close examination of our hearts and our minds, how we treat each other, but more importantly, how we treat ourselves. How have we learned to love ourselves, or have we learned to like ourselves? And like Brother Stan said, we always get in and fit in. We're always trying to be like other people. When can we be our original selves? And I would dare say that as we think of our original selves and our adapted culture, what we see as original is kind of supplanted in us. And so we're acting out of our experience. I'm not saying anything wrong with that. All I'm saying is, in essence, know who you are. You got to know who you are. You got to know yourself, right? So these principles and these laws mean something because it says about what you will not do, what you have not done. If you could then say, I have not stolen, I have not killed, I have not robbed, I have not hurt, I have not made somebody cry. Guess what? We reduce trauma right there. Can we teach our babies to be compassionate, to be kind, to be loving, and not be aggressive and hostile toward one another? Fighting each other, but working together, loving each other, finding balance within ourselves and in our homes and in our communities. Because here's a simple piece. Poverty comes in certain forms. Here's one form. Poor parents. Poor parents and poor coupling of parents develop poor children. And when you have poor children and poor parents, you have poor families. I'm talking about in action, not just with resources. And when you have a bunch of poor families, then you have poor communities. And we can get rid of this impoverished mindset if we begin to develop ourselves. But we got to put the work in. We got to be true to the process. It's about process now. It's a process of development. It's a process of love for ourselves. And like the brother said, it's a process of learning to be honest with yourself about who you are and the stuff that you do, think, and say. Lastly, as we continue to look at how we can move forward, are you in a position to be able to be a spokesperson, not only for our group, but for yourself? And as we said in the Kwanzaa principle, can we begin to name ourselves and get creative again and become producers? These are the things that we need to do. But all I'm asking you to do is just look at yourself and become the best person that you can be today and every day. This has been Empowerment Saturday. It's 365 days of motivation and personal empowerment just for you, just for us. Until next week, try the loss. This is one of the 42. I'll talk to you next week. Tell a friend. Peace and blessings.